You're listening to media from University Lutheran Church and Student Center. We are a multi-generational, Jesus-centered community of scripture, faith, and grace located in Tallahassee, Florida, on the campus of Florida State University. To learn more and to get connected to other resources, please visit universitylutheranchurch.org. We hope that the next few moments are a time when God speaks into your life by the power of His Holy Spirit about His Son, Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Three in One, who has come in order to bring us clarity about Jesus Christ. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, welcome to Lent. Happy Lent? Question mark. This whole season seems like it's kind of confusing in some ways. So we're in the season of Lent, but like I said just a little bit earlier, we're also sort of out of the season of Lent. So today being a Sunday means that you sort of get a cheat day if you want to have a cheat day in Lent. That Sundays are the day for that. So if you gave up chocolate and you're really jonesing for it, today is your day. You can do that if you want to. It's sort of liturgically allowed, whatever that means. And it's kind of an interesting thing to think about that. And yet, at the same time, I am betting that quite a few of you, that doesn't mean anything. That you're just kind of in that boat of like, thanks, Pastor Jay, but I didn't give up anything for Lent because I'm a slacker. But, I mean, the reality is that if you didn't give up anything for Lent, that, well, you're sort of in a growing norm of people in our culture. It used to be that giving up something for Lent was something that was, fairly ubiquitous. Like, everybody kind of knew, okay, well, it's Lent. I'm going to only eat fish on Fridays. I'm going to give up chocolate. I'm going to do a few other things that are sort of bodily ways of me training my body so that I can resist temptation in other ways later on. That was sort of the idea of giving up something for Lent. And yet, what people have found in a completely unscientific survey in this thing called Twitter for Lent is that they have tracked all of the tweets, or I guess they're Zeets now, X-E-E-T, they've tracked how many people are talking on social media about what they're giving up for Lent. And what they've seen is that, first of all, that overall, tweets about giving up something for Lent are down. They're down a few percentage points. And in addition to that, the kind of biggest things that people are giving up for Lent are social media and alcohol and chocolate. Those are the three biggest things that people say on social media they're giving up. And of those things, social media, giving up social media is down about 2 percentage points. And honestly, folks, we're going into an election year. If there is ever a time to give up social media, it is now, and give it up until November. But then on top of that, then there's more people that say that they're giving up alcohol for Lent. So there's kind of this like dry January, dry February, dry March, dry until Easter kind of vibe going on there. And then people giving up chocolate, that seems to kind of be hanging about at the same level. However, overall, the trend is to not give things up for Lent. And with that trend of not giving things up for Lent, it's kind of, well, not really surprising. Because you see, this whole thing started off in the early church as an actual fast. So the season of Lent was a time when people would actually fast, sort of like our Muslim friends next door do for Ramadan. That in the early church, what you would have done is you would have actually taken a fast. You would have not eaten anything from the time of sun up to the time of sun down. And even then, you would have had a sort of small meal. That you would have actually been fasting. Not just IF, not just intermittent fasting, but you actually would have been fasting for a significant period of time. Well, as that kind of stretched on, you had this kind of notion of, well, maybe fasting all day isn't the best. You kind of get weak. There's maybe some bad stuff there. And so the church kind of shifted and said, well, you can eat throughout the day, but your menu options were very limited, that you could only eat basically bread and water, and that's all that you had for Lent during that time. And so you kind of slipped it over one, where it was like, you can't eat. Well, you can eat, but limited menu options. And then after that, you kind of got then, well, okay, you can eat kind of a bigger menu option, but still, you know, you've got to stay away from red meat. You've got to stay away from red meat for some reason, even more than just on Fridays, that maybe you're staying away from red meat altogether. You're just doing fish throughout Lent, and that is why every time around this year, you'll still see it if you watch for it at fast food places. All of a sudden, there pops up, oh, hey, here's an ad about a fish sandwich, because we're wanting you to kind of keep Lent, and we actually want to push these fish sandwiches because they don't sell for the rest of the year. And so you have that kind of vibe that's going there, and then that even slipped, and that slipped into kind of, well, I'm just going to choose one specific thing that I'm not going to eat during Lent. And so maybe that's chocolate for you. You know, maybe you're giving up coffee. Maybe you're giving up soda. Whatever it is, it became sort of one particular thing that you said, well, I'm not going to do that. And as you kind of think about that progression, it's very much not surprising that we are at the point right now where people are just kind of like, well, I'm not going to give up anything for Lent, because that's just sort of our trajectory. I mean, it really kind of shows that that we are bad as a religion at giving things up. We're bad at fasting. We're bad at sacrificing. And maybe that should convict us a little bit. Maybe we should go, well, hey, you know, that is sort of disappointing out of Christians. Maybe I can shift that around a little bit more. Maybe I can sacrifice in the right ways and for the right reasons. But in some ways, maybe that actually shows us something about what the focus of Lent should really be about. Because, see, so often the focus of Lent, at least in its externals, seems like it's about me. It's about what I'm giving up for Lent, what I'm doing for Lent, the sins that I'm choosing not to do during Lent, which apparently are okay starting at Easter. And so you kind of get into that question about, like, oh, okay, well, what is it about Lent that all of a sudden makes it okay for me to do all of these things, but the rest of the time, well, I'm not really engaging. I'm not doing the same stuff. I'm not reading my Bible as much as I am. I'm not praying as much as I am in Lent. That what is it about Lent that makes it okay to sort of do this kind of this 40 days of really hitting it hard so that we can, well, just kind of relax for the rest? And the question there is that should this really be about what we do and what we fail at doing? Because honestly, that's the other reality about Lent, is that oftentimes, just like New Year's resolutions, and those are on the decline as well, just like New Year's resolutions, we say, I'm going to give up this thing, and then we find out that in about a week, we have failed consistently to the point where we go, well, I guess that's not happening. But Lent itself is not necessarily about our sacrifice. You see, when we jump into the story about Abraham, that seems like it's a story that is all about Abraham's sacrifice. And certainly, Abraham does sacrifice in that story. It's a great story of Abraham following what God says. And it's a very interesting story. It's a story that starts off in an odd way. If you are tracking along with what's happening here, it starts off, Abraham has been told that he is going to be the father of many nations. In fact, he's been given a new name. His new name is Abraham, and that means father of many. It means a kind of father of plural, as opposed to his old name, which was Avram, which meant sort of exalted father or good father. And so specifically, God has given him this name saying, you're going to be the father of many different children. And Abraham and Sarah both kind of go, well, God, how's that going to happen? Because we don't have any kids. And so they try to work that out. It's a whole nother story. But eventually it gets worked out. They have a son. His name is Isaac. And they have just the one son. And so you're kind of like, well, God, what's going on here? And how is he going to be the father of many if he only has one kid? And the whole idea is that he's going to have descendants. And, well, here we have this weird moment where God comes to him and uses his plural name. He says, Abraham, I want you to go and I want you to sacrifice your son. And he doubles down. God doubles down and he says, your son, your only son, I want you to sacrifice him on Mount Moriah. And we, as the people that are reading along, go, ooh, God, bad choice. Like, I don't know how you're going to get yourself out of this one, God, because you called him Abraham, and then you told him to take his only son and go and sacrifice him on Mount Moriah. Not that I'm going to be above you, God, but this doesn't look right. And so then we go into this sort of long, extended narrative of all of the different off-ramps that it seems like Abraham has. There's all of these kind of moments where we're kind of like walking through the story and we go, oh, at this point, Abraham could do something different and let Isaac go and do something like that. But he doesn't. And it finally gets to the point where they're on top of the mountain and the wood is all set to go and he's tied up Isaac so that he doesn't squirm too much. And he's got the knife over Isaac, Dexter style. And he's ready to plunge the knife into him and he hears the same voice, Abraham, don't touch the boy. And out of that, we start to see a little bit, maybe, of what Lent is supposed to be about. Because you see, if Lent was supposed to be entirely about our sacrifice, well, then I think the story would have gone a little bit differently. I think if Lent was supposed to be all about our sacrifice, well, then the story should have gone that Abraham has the knife over Isaac, and then, and you see the pool of blood around Isaac, and then he lights the fire, and everything happens, and then God resurrects him from the dead and says, you've done such a good job, you actually sacrificed your son, and because of that, now we know that what I really want out of people is sacrifice. But instead of that, we get the story as it's presented, and the story as it's presented is God saying, hold up, I've got another plan. And he offers up a substitute sacrifice. Just like he does with Jesus. Just like he shows us in our sacrifices. That the whole point of the sacrifices that we are to make is that they show us Jesus. That they show us that the sacrifice that we are supposed to have made, well, that's not something that God is requiring of us anymore. That the sacrifice of our true repentance, of our true giving up all sorts of things, that's all housed in Jesus. That Jesus has become our sacrifice. That Jesus has become the thing that was supposed to be given up. And that's what we get in this gospel reading. In this gospel reading from Mark, where it's really kind of this short gospel reading. And that's important for the story of our Lent, because Mark is structured in this weird way. If you've ever read the Gospel of Mark, just wait a little bit. Mark is next in our Together with Jesus reading series. We're about halfway through Matthew right now, where you've got another half of Matthew to go, and then we jump into Mark. And what we'll see in Mark, and what is present in this story, is that Mark, well, he doesn't have a whole lot of time for anything extraneous. In Mark, Mark's favorite word is the word immediately. And Mark, throughout his gospel, up until the point of the cross, is using that word immediately. Jesus immediately goes and does this. He immediately goes and does that. He immediately goes and does this. It's like he's got Jesus on that kind of setting on your podcast where you have them read it at 1.5 or maybe even 2 if you're really good. And it's sort of like everything is going so, so fast up until the point of the cross. And at the point of the cross, Mark slows it down to regular speed and says, this is what we're supposed to pay attention to. Everything else for Mark, we can just rush through that. We can rush through his baptism. We can rush through this time that he's in the desert with the devil. We don't even get all of the different things that he tempts Jesus with, but he rushes through all of that so that we can get to the point of the cross. The point where Jesus steps in as our sacrifice, where he steps in to truly be what he is for us, to truly be what we're supposed to focus on in this Lent. So here we are. A few days into Lent, it started on Ash Wednesday. And what we're hoping is that this Lent will be a Lent where you change your focus. And maybe you can continue to give things up for Lent. Maybe you can continue all of your plans that you have for Lent. I think all of those things could be very God-pleasing if put in the right focus. But this Lent, let your focus be Christ. This Lent, let your focus be Jesus. Let the sacrifices that you're making be in the background and look at his sacrifice. Because it's in his sacrifice that you find new life. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this media from University Lutheran Church and Student Center. To learn more and to get connected to other resources, please visit universitylutheranchurch.org. If you would like to financially support more media from University Lutheran, please visit our website and click the Give Now button, which will enable you to engage in the Christian discipline of giving tithes and offerings to God through His church. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift up his face upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.